Good morning. Welcome to the new year. Even more than a happy new year, I wish you all a blessed new year. Let's just all find God together this year. How about that? Well, certainly we have opportunity to move forward on that road. What is this word? I read this, and we have this wonderful story, of course, of the experience of Master, but before I got that far, I kind of got grabbed. With just the word, the eternal word. And one of the questions that came to my mind was, how does the Christian Bible really deal with that? That's not a part of the Christianity that those of us who grew up in it knew, and yet we start right off with the scripture from John that it's the eternal word, the Om, that started everything right there in the Bible. So how does the Christian Bible present the word, and what does Yogananda have to say specifically about that? Now, we all know the sound that our mouth can make that apparently is the closest to the sound of the word. We've said it many times this morning already. We've sung it. We prayed it. We used it to send out healing blessings. It's at the end of purification, and that's Om. And that is a great sound. But what that is just our approximation of trying to move towards this greater reality. In the book of Luke in the Bible, Jesus is preaching, and he's actually just taught what we call the Lord's Prayer in this period of teaching. And a woman from his listeners, and probably followers, cried out to him and said, "Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and blessed are the breasts that nurse thee," just giving reverence and deprecation to Mary, to his mother, praising and revering her. But Jesus, he didn't disagree with her that his mother was blessed, but he said very clearly, "Even more blessed are those that hear the word of God, and those that keep it." So this has kind of come to mean, oh, those who go to church, those who hear good teachings, or hear teachings from the Bible that they are good, and those that follow that, you know, that they are the ones that are blessed. But Yogananda says that Jesus's meaning actually is very clear, although it really hasn't been clear to a lot of people for about 20 centuries. But he says Jesus' meaning actually is very clear. He's not referring to those, you know, who are listening to sermons. He's saying that even better than bearing divine children on the physical plane is knowing how to hear the deep, revealing, omniscient word or cosmic sound of Om, and to keep it, how to be in tune continuously with that word so as to direct one's life by following the inner intuitive directions revealed by Om in your heart. The Christian Bible actually repeatedly refers to the Word of God. And one way that it often does that is talks about the Word of God visiting someone, or the Word of God coming to someone. Sometimes it says specifically that it appears in a vision, or it appears in a dream. And those people in general listen to the Word and learn from it. Sometimes their whole life is changed because of it. Other times what they had planned to do is radically changed, because they experienced the word of the Lord. And if you grew up in a Christian church like I did, especially if you went to church, well, I think we went to church five times a week when I was a kid, you heard this sort of thing a lot, but it didn't mean at all what we can come to understand hearing or experiencing the word of the Lord. The Bible tells us many stories using this phrase. The word came to Abram, who later became Abraham, when he needed to be convinced and brought on board that even though he and his wife were in their 80s, they were going to have a child. And you can just imagine, you know, it says, well, the word of the Lord came, but if you can think of the Om coming in and he's just being blasted and filled with this totally different experience, maybe then God actually got his attention and he could accept, you know, as a result of that, this incredible, impossible miracle. The word also came to his wife, Sarah, and I thought it was interesting that, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but one of the terms that's used for the Om in the Bible is the Holy Ghost. And that's the explanation in the New Testament for how Mary could conceive being a virgin. The Holy Ghost came upon her. And if the Holy Ghost is Om, then that must be the mechanism through that, through how, I mean, how that occurred. We also have the story of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist, and the same thing is said there. The Word came, the Word of God came to Jesus. So I think we can assume that he had an experience, and probably some of those that are with him that saw the dove had the experience of Om as well. So the Bible ends up being full of references to Om and to the sound when we begin to understand the uses of the terms to refer to that. The Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit are also included as parts of Om. And there are many other references in the Bible that show that Om was experienced by Bible saints and characters. Yogananda pointed out that St. John heard the Om as a cosmic trumpet. He was in meditation, and Yogananda says that the trumpet blasted him from behind. And John wrote, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard from behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And so he had repeated experiences with the word. John did. He, in some of his experiences, John referred to it as the voice of thunder, and in others, the voice of many waters. And in another case, he said he heard harpists, crowds of harpists harping on their harps. And that, of course, is one of the singular sounds that we hear from the chakras that makes up a part of the Om. And a very notable one that most of us know, and we can understand it a bit better even without it being described as Om in the Bible, is on the day of Pentecost, you know, after Jesus had left, and the disciples of Jesus were filled with the Holy Ghost, and there was the great sound, rushing waters, and also they began to be able to speak in any language. If there was someone in front of them who had come from a different country and couldn't understand their teaching what Jesus had taught them, then they would start speaking in that language. And if you think about it, of course, the cosmic sound, what they were visited with there that day, is the mother of all human language. So it should have been easy for the Om to have them all speaking in different tongues. Well, back to our reading of this morning, back to the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So John's saying that in the beginning of creation was the Om, the cosmic vibration, that this is what took place first, before any other aspect of creation, that he's spelling that out in the Bible. And very pointedly, he said in Revelation, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." I mean, it's so obvious. You know, he even says, and Master says that the term, expression, word, the sound, Om, in the yogic and Hindu traditions, and the word Amin in the Islamic tradition, and the word Amen in the Christian tradition are all based on the very same experience that people had in the past, but it no longer holds that reference except in the yogic tradition. And just poking around on the internet, I discovered that there's an Islamic tradition that, especially after Muhammad would read this one scripture, he would burst out in a sonorous, a huge Ameen that would just fill the building, replicating that Om that it referred to. So we have all of these in here in the Bible. It says specifically that the Amen testifies to the beginning of creation. Well, Patanjali also was pretty specific, and Master, interestingly, I found, called him the greatest of Hindu yogis. But he says that God manifested the cosmic intelligent vibration, and that vibration then became cosmic sound and cosmic light, out of which all of the rest of creation developed. And that while Ishwara is a spirit, we actually can contact God directly through the Om, because the Om was generated directly from God. So now it begins to get a little more interesting, because it's not just, oh, this and that, and this Bible says that and all, but there's a connection for us. Okay, what can we do here? Well, before we get there, let's just look a little bit at what that word, how that word was generated, where it started, where it became. So before there was time, before there could even be a before, God is ever existing, ever conscious, ever new bliss, just spirit, just the transcendent state, the transcendental state without creation, right? No vibration, no flux, no change, just spirit in unmanifested form. Okay, being, cosmic consciousness, power, whatever you want to say, was just all the same. It was all one. So now, do we all have that comprehended? All right, but this is the beginning before the beginning, because there was nothing actually going on except that existence. So for the creation of the cosmos to begin, God sent out of God's self this vibration, the Patanjali mentioned, the cosmic intelligent vibratory. It's hard to put a name to it, thing. And movement. It was movement. We know that. And when we're referring to this vibratory, this movement in creation, in the world that we experience, in the world that we can actually experience from the senses or the enhanced senses, then we call that the Christ intelligence, or more often, the Christ consciousness. And this Christ consciousness, which is this vibration of God in everything that exists, is also called the sun, when we think of it in reference to the Heavenly Father. So the Heavenly Father is the unmanifested God or the cosmic consciousness, the thing that I was assuming we all comprehended there, that before the beginning is the Heavenly Father. And that's actually who we're praying to when we say Heavenly Father. That aspect or that part of God. But Christ consciousness is the Son. And we have the Om, which we call the Holy Ghost, and bingo, there you have the Christian Trinity, right? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So it's through the concept of Om that we also can get the correct explanation for the Christian Bibles, or at least the Christians today, believing in Jesus being the only begotten Son of God, and therefore all other religions have to be wrong, other saints or other masters are in no way equal to Jesus. Because it is the Christ consciousness, that's the only thing that came directly out of God, that vibration, that Om. And that is what the scriptures are referring to when they talk about the only begotten. And so, of course, the only begotten is the only way and is the way that has to be followed. And Jesus was completely filled with that only begotten. It was a very special situation, just not a unique one. And so that's where we get that to match up with the other teachings of the world. Well, what relevance does any of this have for us today in our daily lives? When Jesus speaks of the Holy Ghost, he also refers to him as the Great Comforter. And he means here that God appears not only as the cosmic vibration, but also as ever new joy, which can be especially found through meditation, and which can give us the greatest comfort. The greatest comfort and the most freedom that we will ever have comes in that form, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which is the Om. Yogananda says that all true devotees are on their way to being able to hear and then fully experience the Om, if they're not already. And it's that cosmic sound that contains the intelligence of God and communicates God's wishes to the devotee through the devotee's intuitive feelings of the heart. So the Om speaks directly to us through intuition, through our intuition. That's how we can connect with it and how we can learn from it. Back to that idea that Jesus said in Luke, those that hear the word of God and those that keep it, those that are able to use it to continuously interact with it and follow it. So Jesus makes clear here that God is talking to the devotees that they can experience the word, the cosmic vibration, the Holy Ghost, but he's also cautioning the audience that one must keep at it. Listening once or twice to the cosmic sound, Yogananda says, is not enough. Once we're fortunate enough to connect, then we must aim to permanently keep the cosmic sound in our consciousness and be guided by it. Jesus, when he was here on earth, Yogananda said, taught very specific techniques of being able to contact God through the Holy Ghost, through the Om. But through the centuries, Yogananda says specifically because they were kept secret for so long that they faded away and died out. The technique has left Christian living. But Yogananda brought to the West techniques of tuning in to God as the cosmic sound or as the Holy Ghost. And thus we can say that the promise of Christ that he would return now after 20 centuries is appearing a second time in the consciousness of many devotees. As again, we can learn and we can follow techniques that are the same or similar as he taught for contacting the Holy Ghost, the great comforter, the Om, the eternal word. And as we follow our practices that are taught on this path, we have the opportunity to, it's not all or nothing. As we begin to practice, and we may hear just one or two sounds that are a part of the Om. And as we stay continuing our practices, embracing what Divine Mother does share with us of the Om, eventually we'll be able to experience it for ourselves. I want to close with reading from Whispers. Demand for realizing the expansion of consciousness in the cosmic sound. Manifest thyself to me, O Father, as the light of reason and the blaze of wisdom, as the breeze of amity and of self-expanding harmony. Manifest thyself through the song of atoms and electrons, whose music vibration encompasses the universe. Teach me to hear thy cosmic voice, which first commanded all vibration to begin, inspiring every pinpoint of creation to sing in its own special melody. Oh, let me hear within me thy cosmic voice, so long hidden behind the hubbub of outer creation. Let my magic wand of meditation touch all sounds and melt them into the one cosmic sound of Om. Lo, how it courses o'er the earth, in the sky, far out from the earth to reach the stars. Appear to me as Om. Om, Om, thy cosmic song, which gives life to and infuses all sounds. Every cell of my body, every nerve, every ripple of my thoughts now sings with thy great cosmic anthem. Om. Om. Om.